with respect to China. The people of China are good people, but President Xi, who runs China, is a gangster. He's right out of Goodfellas. If you turn the other cheek to President Xi, he'll just stab you in the neck.
Senator John Kennedy, telling the truth about yet another communist that we're having to deal with in the 21st century, it's like the darkness. It's like Satan. Communism never dies. It just morphs. You got Putin over there. Xi Jinping over here. Got your commies in Cuba over there. Your commie in North Korea. You see the commie in North Korea? Kim Jong-un, he's threatening the United States again with confrontation. They're ready to talk, but they're ready for confrontation as well. They're commies. They're murderers. This is the guy that, what did he lash his uncle to a pole and have him executed with an anti-aircraft gun while all of his generals watched from the bleachers? It's a good way to make a point, you know, kind of drives it home, I guess. It's what commies have been doing for a long time. For those who have perhaps forgotten or never learned in the first place, maybe got public education or something. Oh, by the way, today is the official celebration of Juneteenth, signed into law yesterday. It's really, honestly, it's setting aside the merits and the values of the actual holiday itself, because there was no discussion about this. There was no national debate about adding another national holiday. It's the Democrats, the party of slavery and the Confederacy, pandering to the black vote again. That's the primary driving force here. Now, you could have an honest and serious discussion about creating a holiday based on these events. A Union general arriving in San Antonio, Texas, and informing the African-American population that the Republicans had long since freed them and the Democrats had been resisting. That's the occasion of Juneteenth, June 19th, 1865. And it's, you know, there's some interesting history there. There is. And really, it's about the Democratic Party. And yesterday, instead of, you know, the news media, not that they were going to report this anyway in the Washington Post or anything, you know, the real history of the Democratic Party, the Democrats jumped in to pander and have photo ops and create a new federal holiday. And yesterday, the mayor of Washington, D.C., as our city crumbles and falls apart, becomes a crime-ridden hellhole. She announced that all the students would have school off today, that there would be no school today, announcing it the last minute. Are they really still in school, I guess? So yesterday they announced it mid-afternoon. Oh, by the way, everybody's off tomorrow. Yay! And everybody's off tomorrow. Another day of not learning, which is what usually happens even during school days in Washington, D.C. But there it is. So it is the celebration, the official Juneteenth, first time ever celebrated as a national holiday, a federal holiday, the Democrats are taking credit for it, which is a little bit ironic. Delete a little bit. It's quite ironic, given that on this day, finally the Democrats were forced at long last with a gun to their head after the bloodiest war in the history of the country still to this day. Free the slaves from the Democrats. And the Democrat president, Jefferson Davis of the Confederacy, the Republican president, Abraham Lincoln, the first ever Republican president, the party which was created to oppose slavery, the abolitionist party, and the first Republican president was then, of course, shot in the head and murdered by who? By a Democrat who also, perhaps not coincidentally, was an actor. He's, dress up and make believe and all that stuff. So it is the first time ever that Juneteenth has been observed. Again, the official date is tomorrow, as a federal holiday. And Joe Biden, and they had like Sheila Jackson Lee, who's completely insane, and, you know, a few other Democrats up there because of the color of their skin. You know, not that Martin Luther King would object or anything. People being judged by the color of their skin and not by the content of their character. But the Democrats once again jump in. Yay, we saved the day. It's like, you guys were the slavers. You're the crackers. You're the gray uniforms. You're Jefferson Davis. You're Richmond, Virginia. you know, we had to drive you into the sea going through Atlanta. My best girl always resents it when I bring that up. She's from Atlanta. And, you know, Sherman's March to the Sea and all that stuff. You know, that was the Republican Army in blue, the Democrat Party in gray, and welcome to American history. But the Democrats, they get to rewrite it because they've got the news media, you know, the New York Times, the Washington Post working for them, and academia. So this stuff never comes up. They love to talk about, you know, how terrible American history is. They always leave out that every instance that they cite when they're talking about how terrible our history is there's a Democrat behind it. Democrat in every woodpile, in every bush. It's an amazing thing. But since they get to scratch their name out of the story, it works for them. You know, and then, oh, gosh, the Democrat Party's really looking out for me. Yeah, okay, read page two. See if page two might change your mind, because a lot of things are different here. But in any case, happy Juneteenth observed, our newest federal holiday. And Joe Biden, he doesn't know what day it is or what year it is or when Juneteenth was or what it was about or anything of the kind. He was just told to pander along lines of race and racially divide and polarize. And so he did, because that's his thing. So we've got that going on. We've also got a great thing happened yesterday. Obama's former doctor, while he was president, not like his civilian doctor, you know, rubber glove, cough, turn to the left. His doctor, a career military officer and doctor, who is now a member of the House of Representatives, has come out and called for lunch bucket Joe Biden to take a cognitive test to see how his brain's doing. And he's done it very publicly in a letter, along with some other members of Congress, Republicans only, of course, because Democrats are not honest or truthful people. As a rule, I don't want to generalize, but not a single one of them is an honest or truthful person. I embellish only slightly. And this great story on the former doctor, you know who he is, I'm going to get to him, calling for, you remember when President Trump was forced by a phony, corrupt news media, Democrat Party shills all, I don't want to generalize, but every single one of them, with a couple of exceptions, and they all called for President Trump to take a cognitive test to see how his brain is working because, well, they didn't vote for him is really the reason there. Now, Joe Biden, and this is it's a fun story because the doctor slash congressman actually cites a number of specific instances where Joe Biden seemed to lose his train of thought, forget what he was talking about. It happens every day, pretty much. So we've got that going for us. And it's a fun story. I'll get to that with you. Really fun. A great guy, a father of students in Illinois, went to a school board meeting and lit the place up. He's an African-American guy, lit the place up. I usually forget to mention these details, but it probably is important in this case. It's relevant in this case about critical race theory. And he's talking about how, you know, the white man is keeping everybody down and, you know, this stuff, the usual racist stuff that the racists and the racist party peddle. That's the Democrat Party. Remarkable stuff. In Chicago, the mayor there, what Baby Groot? She has declared racism a public health crisis, and she's going to steal money from the COVID thing to fund racism in Chicago because racism is a public health crisis. Really, the Democrats are a public health crisis, and if we've got a racial crisis in the United States of America, it's the Democratic Party. The history, past and present, of the Democratic Party. Remarkable stuff. And I think I mentioned just in passing yesterday, but we didn't get to it, a university that is holding racially segregated graduation celebrations. They're celebrations. They're not graduation ceremonies. They're celebrations. And they're broken down along lines of race and ethnicity and, of course, sexual orientation or sexual preference. Which one is allowed now, Michael? Is it preference or orientation? It's not preference. It's orientation. Sexual orientation, breaking it down, they have different graduations based on who you have sex with, your melanin levels, what your grandparents' names were. Because they're segregationists. You know, the Democrats were the segregationists in the old days. Sheriff Bull Connor, the Woolworths luncheonette counter, Democrats everywhere. And now on college campuses, they're doing that stuff. Update on the transphobic mass shooter. This kind of got lost in the weeds because the news media never brought it up. A couple of transgender fanatics who went into a classroom and shot the place up. had their day in court yesterday. And, well, they had several days in court. But we got the verdict yesterday. I want to share that with you. We've got an update also on the stabbing of a 94-year-old, don't want to exaggerate, 94-year-old Asian woman in San Francisco. You'll never believe she was stabbed and in an effort to murder her just for no reason at all. And we have an update on the person that stabbed her. And guess what? There are some Democrats behind the curtain. It's amazing how consistent these stories are. It's an extraordinary thing. So I've got an update for you on that. Also, the Supreme Court. Remember when Amy Coney Barrett was going to the – there were hundreds and hundreds of news stories peddled by the frauds that we call the news media, the charlatans that come up with more fake news than I can list in a three-hour broadcast. You know, Russian collusion, Covington Catholic, Brett Kavanaugh's a serial rapist who drugged women in the punch bowls with barbiturates. What were they? What were they? Quaaludes? There were Quaaludes, I think, in the punch. It was all a lie. These were all lies. All of these things are lies. And Amy Coney Barrett was, she was going to overturn Obamacare. Remember this? She was, they had hundreds and hundreds of stories. And apoplectic transgender Democrats on MSNBC and CNN screaming and soiling their undergarments that Amy Coney Barrett was going to end Obamacare on the Supreme Court. Well, the court ruled yesterday, with the results are in, Amy Coney Barrett did not even vote to end Obamacare. In fact, it'll be controversial from this point on, but she sided with the Obamacare side. Let's just say. And so we got another giant fake news thing here to be exposed, and everything. It's more of what they tell us is a lie than what we get from them being the truth. It's an extraordinary thing, just a great. And also the we hit on these a bit yesterday as the rulings were coming in from the Supreme Court, but there was also a big ruling having to do with religious liberties, religious freedoms, the First Amendment, and amazingly, even a couple of Democrats voted. This is sort of a remarkable thing. It was a unanimous Supreme Court decision in favor of religious liberties. Even Obama, the case must have been so obvious and so clear-cut that even Sotomayor and Kagan and Breyer all voted with the majority in favor of religious liberties. That might be the influence that a conservative majority has on the court. It's going to make the Democrats want to pack the court even more. The Washington Post has, because they're really third world in their orientation and they're authoritarian and all this stuff, they really are. Also, a little minor thing, and we got lots of other stories too, police stories out of Portland and out of Los Angeles, because the Democrats are anti-police. They're an anti-police political party, the largest, and they're in control right now. Pretty remarkable stuff. And also, I want to, Hunter Biden, did you see that 50 former intelligence officials have come out and declared that Hunter Biden is the greatest artist of our time? You see, they signed a letter. They didn't really, but you remember that letter they signed, these 50 phony, corrupt former intelligence officials saying that the New York Post reporting on Hunter Biden's laptop and the emails had all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation, you know, Russian disinformation campaign. That was all a lie. That was those 50 former intelligence, but they owe the American people an apology. And they're frauds and political hacks and liars as long as they don't come out and apologize for this phony, corrupt, just, you know, a month before the election. These intelligence, led by John Brennan, penitentiary face Brennan, who voted for the Communist Party candidate for president of the United States when he was a young man. Didn't do it recently, Gus Hall, you know, but you know anybody that voted for the Communist Party? There's former CIA directors. So we got all kinds of remarkable stuff going on here today. Victoria's Secret is in the news. And my best girl and I, we went out for a walk yesterday in Washington, D.C., hiking around. You know, we like to walk miles and miles. We came across a crime scene, a drive-by shooting where... What was it? 40 or 50 rounds were fired. Two people were shot, and I've got a little story to tell about that. We are, of course, at 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant, the Chris Plant Show. The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
All right, yeah, I want to get to the came across a drive-by shooting in Washington yesterday, and two people shot and led to a high-speed chase, all kinds of good stuff. I want to get to that. Right now, let's go to the telephones, Michael. It's Friday, and let's talk to nice people. We're at 888-630-9625. Let's go to Roger calling from Wilmington, North Carolina. Roger, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Man, great to talk to you. I've been listening to your show for a couple of years now.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Welcome, Roger.
Listen, the critical race theory, I hope you think it's kind of new, but here's the deal. It was in race relations class in the Army. The same theory of it's all your fault, you're to blame, you own the slaves. It's you get all the blame, and I said, okay, you don't get to talk to the instructor in the Army, but it's like, how are you going to solve the problem if you don't share the blame on both sides?
Well, you know, I don't know that, I don't know how you share the blame on both sides for something that happened centuries ago. And I mean, I got to tell you, my ancestors, as far as I know, my Basque ancestors came over, you know, 100 years ago, a little more, my Irish ancestors, maybe a little longer ago than that. Not aware that anybody was involved in any fashion with the slave trade or owned any slaves. And, you know, and even if my ancestors had done something that was perfectly normal worldwide at the time, but was obviously wrong by today's standards, that doesn't make me guilty of anything. It doesn't make my children, I don't have any children, I'm signing the cross. But if I had any, it wouldn't make them guilty of anything. And it doesn't make my grandparents guilty of anything. The whole thing, really, listen, Roger, this is about this Marxist construct of creating class conflict and race conflict. And that's what the left is busy doing today in the United States of America, is they're using race. They like to call them wedge issues. They use race, and they're teaching it in school because they want to raise a generation that lives in conflict. Now, Roger, you say you learned this, you got this stuff when you were in the Army, and they sat you down and started talking about all matters related to race. And they say, you know, and white people are, I mean, obviously white people and others, by the way, thousands of black people in the United States owned slaves. This is something that doesn't get talked about a lot, but literally thousands of people in the United States of America who are African-American owned slaves because there were a lot of free black people, and slavery was legal, not just in the United States, but all over the world. You know, 60% of the slaves that left the Middle Passage that crossed the Atlantic went to Brazil. About 60% went to Brazil. About 5% came to what is now the United States of America. And this critical race theory is a big lie. The country wasn't founded in 1619. It was founded in 1776 on July 4th. And it didn't start when the first slaves arrived. And the first slaves didn't arrive in 1619. They arrived in the mid-1500s with the Spanish. But never mind the facts.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Yes. Yeah, I mentioned that my best girl and I doing what we often do. We were out for a hike about, wandering the city of Washington in our comfortable shoes, you know. Yeah, we'll get to that Victoria's Secret thing shortly, speaking of comfortable shoes. But we were hiking around the city, as we often do, and we go for miles and miles. And we came across in a neighborhood in Washington called Cleveland Park. Cleveland Park. The neighborhood is named for Grover Cleveland, because Grover Cleveland, the president, retired to that neighborhood when he left the presidency for the second time, two non-consecutive terms as president, as any school child can tell you. And we came across a lot of police cars, D.C. Metropolitan Police cars, and United States Secret Service Uniform Division police cars. There are in Washington, D.C., you have the United States Secret Service Uniform Division, and they have cars that look just like police cars, and they protect embassies, vice presidents, residents. You see them around the White House, and you see them driving around neighborhoods. Well, it turns out we came across this thing in these police cars, and so we stopped to see hey, what's going on here? We start talking to people. It's a school. There's a school there, and it turns out that the school had been the scene of a shooting yesterday afternoon, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I guess. And there's a construction site at a school. The school is under construction. None of the kiddies are going to school there. They're going to school someplace else nearby. So there are no kiddies at the school, but it's a school. It's been there for 100 years or something. And the construction crews are there. An automobile pulled up, and four fine young gentlemen, four well-raised young men, in the automobile with firearms, and some number of the fine young men got out of the car, probably white supremacists, you know, that you hear so much about, got out of the car and opened fire with at least two, possibly three firearms, including at least one rifle, according to multiple reports. And according to reports, and according to what we were told at the scene, while we were at the scene, because the police are still on the scene, 40 to 50 rounds of ammunition were fired at a couple of construction workers. They like to call them workers. A couple of construction workers, you know, employees at the construction place at the site. And two men were shot and wounded Thursday afternoon in Northwest Washington's Cleveland Park neighborhood when at least one person fired toward a construction site. It's like he's not firing toward a construction site. He's firing toward the people. You know, but in the Washington Post, it's like he hates those cans. Stay away from those cans. Once again, it's Steve Martin and the jerk when it comes to the Washington Post reporting. I'm making quotation marks with my fingers on the story. They did. They've got a little blurb on it here. No pictures or anything. And it's on page B4 in the Metro section. Doesn't make the front page or the second or the third page in the Metro section, because this is like dog bites man. It's a very commonplace thing. So They say that the gunman fired at a construction site or toward a construction site. No, they were firing at men, or at least one man, at the construction site. A person who lives near the school said he saw a gunman and heard shots at least a dozen shots shortly before 2 p.m. 40 to 50 is what I was told when we were at the scene talking to people, talking to some of the construction guys, talking to local news guys, briefly talking to a police officer. But this is a, you know, this is kind of a classic Washington, D.C. Thing. And the it gets a little better from here because the car with the four or five young gentlemen, probably white supremacists, I can only imagine. You know, because the FBI, they said their task forces, they're standing up in the military, and everybody's, and the biggest problem, the biggest threat is white supremacists. And, you know, never mind that on Tuesday afternoon in, on Tuesday in Chicago, eight people were murdered, including four in a single mass shooting where four people were murdered, eight killed across the city, more than were killed in the St. Valentine's Day Massacre in Chicago in 1929, the stuff of lore and films and books. Now it's just Tuesday in Chicago. Not a thing. Probably white supremacists, Serbia, don't you think, Michael? Victor, I think probably white supremacists is what we're talking about here. So yesterday we came across this crime scene, and it wasn't really a drive-by because they stopped and got out. I mean, you might call it a drive-by by the loosest definition. Usually I think of a drive-by as roll down the window, driving slowly, open fire, then drive fast, you know. But if you stop, get out, walk up, and shoot, that looks like an organized hit, you see. So the two people were shot, and they say that non-life-threatening. It's always non-life-threatening when it's not you. You know, when it's you, it was very much life-threatening. They were shot by these creeps that got out of a car and walked up and shot them. So that's pretty life-threatening stuff, I've got to say. And then the police, it turns out that the United States Secret Service Uniform Division were first on the scene and provided life-saving medical assistance to the two wounded individuals. And the gunmen, of course, fine young men, probably white supremacists, they got in the car and they raced away. This led to a high-speed chase, and the U.S. Park Police helicopter was on the job. You see that over Washington, D.C. a lot. And they chased the car, a big high-speed chase around the city of Washington, and then they left the city of Washington. According to reports, went into Prince George's County in Maryland and then circled back around and came back into northeast Washington, D.C., where they crashed the car and the car caught on fire. And four young men were arrested, at least two, possibly three firearms recovered. Four people, including a juvenile, were arrested, the Washington Post reports. And they were shooting at toward a construction site. That's it. They hate construction sites. That's probably what it is. The Washington Post tells us that maybe they had a problem with construction. That could be the thing. And this is, you know, in Washington, D.C., you're walking around, you come across a crime scene, it's another shooting. It's in a nice neighborhood of Washington, D.C., not a particularly high crime neighborhood, but it's becoming a more high crime neighborhood, as is most of the city becoming a more high crime neighborhood. And the high-speed police chase and the crash and the fire and four arrests. And, this is page four, an item on page four in the Metro section, the second section of the Washington Post today, because this is not really a big thing. This is just this is small potatoes in the scheme of things when it comes to Washington, D.C., and when it comes to the news media, because, you know, what are they going to emphasize this, play this up? Now, if there were a racial motive or something, then it would be front page news and it would be national news and it would be all over the place. And, you know, it would be white supremacists. They keep looking for the mythical white supremacist, the unicorn of our time. Remarkable stuff. I was like, you know, the other day we barely talked about it, but in Austin, Texas, there was a mass shooting out on 6th Street. If you've ever been to Austin, Texas, kind of fun, University of Texas. And 6th Street is where all the clubs and the music, got a lot of music, got a big music scene in Austin, Texas. And there was a mass shooting there over the weekend. I believe one person was killed and, 11 or 12 or something. More people were shot. Probably white supremacists in Austin, Texas, because you figure it's Texas, is Austin, Texas. This is not going to be something. No, but it turns out it wasn't. It wasn't more white supremacists. I just, with all the noise that we get from the federal government and the phony, baloney, corrupt, stinking FBI these days about white supremacy being the biggest threat and the U.S. military standing down to look for white supremacists under the bunks and stuff like that, behind the desks, you know, what's under the coat rack. Maybe there's a white supremacist back there. This is just embarrassing and ridiculous. In the meantime, you got all these mass shootings going on all over the country, and the Democrats, and by that, in this case, I mean the news media, they say, well, you know, it's the biggest threat is white supremacists. And, if that were true, we'd be hearing about these white supremacist acts every day, wouldn't we? And they wouldn't be burying them on page B4. And when 8 people are murdered in Chicago on a Tuesday, 4 of them in a single mass killing incident, if they could only racialize that for us. But the problem is that they can't. Because there is a crisis in the United States of America when it comes to violent crime, and we don't talk about it because it's not allowed, because the left says it's not allowed. And honestly, I brought the statistics in here from the Washington Post, no less. They don't talk about it much, but they went with the numbers from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and they had a story on handgun deaths, suicides, and murders. Using, firearms, not just handguns, but firearms, mostly handguns. And they found that African-Americans, that number of African-Americans killed by homicide is 10 times higher than the number, and this is crimes killed by handgun, 10 times higher than the Caucasian homicide rate. And we don't talk about that because we can't talk about that because you're racist if you talk about that. And then don't forget to send a check to Planned Parenthood. It's just amazing the casualness with which we dismiss the daily crime wave from coast to coast, mostly in Democrat-run cities and Democrat-run newspapers, where they just don't talk about this stuff, and they bury the news, and they keep telling us that white supremacists are the big problem in the United States of America. And I saw Jeffrey Toubout the other day on CNN. You know, they call him Jerk. That's his nickname at CNN now, is Jerk. Why? Why is that his nickname? Never mind. And Jeffrey Toubout, he's writing a book. He's coming back from his public masturbation scandal, and CNN welcomed him back with open something or other. And Jeffrey Toubout is back. And as soon as he's back, say, well, you know, hey, you were on a Zoom call doing, you know, spanky wank over here. And now you're back on the air at CNN. And he said, yes, and I've got a new book. And it's on the, what was it, 1996 or something, Oklahoma City bombing. Because I think that's about the last case that they can point to. Is that it? Oh, Charlottesville. Yeah. And Heather Heyer was killed by a medicated teenager, and that was a terrible thing. And there were 8 people killed in Chicago on Tuesday, and nobody's talking about it. Kind of a big deal. Ought to be a big deal. Really ought to be. Now, let's just moving on. I want to share that because it just occurred to me yesterday. We're walking around, real casual thing. No big deal. Where's the news coverage of people being shot at a school? And by the school is half a block away. There's a playground, and there are kiddies playing. 40, 50 shots fired, apparently targeted shooting, you know, like a hit, trying to assassinate somebody. And this is just no big deal. And the reason is it's all people of color. And where are the news media on this? Where are the Democrats on this? Because if you move the color quotient by, you know, just one little factor, just change this fact to that fact, change black to white, and suddenly it's national news. But this everyday stuff, just pay no attention to it at all. And that's your Democrat Party while they're signing their Juneteenth legislation yesterday. They're turning a blind eye to the ongoing Holocaust that's going on from coast to coast. So just a couple of thoughts on what I saw yesterday out walking around the city of Washington. You know how it goes. Yeah. And in the meantime, we got to teach our kids that white people are evil. We're teaching that in school. Critical race theory. And that black people are victims of white people. And I've got a great guy that I've got audio of this great guy, who African-American guy, went to a school board meeting in Illinois, Ty Smith, and told it like it is. This is a growing trend, I'm happy to report. I think it might have started in Loudoun County, Virginia, where a couple of teachers spoke up and told the truth about critical race theory and the lie, that is, the fraud, the racially divisive fraud, that is critical race theory. and the 1619 Project, the New York Times of all people, for crying out loud, for the love of. So with that, Michael, let's go back to the phones. Shall we go back to the phones? Let's go to Ken calling from Dayton, Ohio. Ken, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Thanks, Chris, for taking my call. As I thought through this issue about the critical race, I look at the transfer of power in these cities from, first of all, competent to incompetent Democrats, and finally to truly incompetent black Democrats. And instead of being held accountable for this ongoing carnage, they blame, because they're either all purpose, and I think most of this is purposeful to let this stuff go. They've just now it's all Whitey's fault, and
right. Oh, it's true. It's the catch-all convenient throwaway, and like the mayor of Chicago, Mayor Lori Lutfoot. She's got this new thing now where she's going to spend millions and millions of dollars on race in the city of Chicago. And, you know, hundreds and hundreds of African-Americans are murdered in Chicago every year. And the number this year is soaring at a record pace. And what the Democrats do is they point to white people and blame white people. Seems to work for them. You know, it's a catch-all. The news media goes along with it. Academia goes, well, there are historical wrongs that have led to. Yeah, and the Democrats are behind pretty much every single historical wrong. And by the way, things in many, many important respects were not nearly this screwed up in the 1950s and the early 1960s, even through the early 70s, as they are now, because the Democrats continue to fix things. Know what I mean?
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
All right, a great many really good stories to get to today, but, you know, good being a relative thing. You know, lunch bucket Joe Biden has promised that they said that he's vowed not to hire his own family. Well, they make more money, you know, milking the name outside of government. Don't be ridiculous. But now Hunter Biden's the most successful artist in the history of the world for his first exhibition. His pieces are selling for $500,000. Maybe $1 million to anonymous donors from overseas. We don't even know who they are because they're going to maintain their anonymity, like all of the sources in the Washington Post today. Remarkable stuff. Although Biden has vowed not to hire his own family in the first few months of his presidency, at least five children of his top aides have secured coveted jobs in his new administration. The Washington Post is even reporting this. It's kind of amazing. that they, I mean, somebody must have handed them the story and they can't stay away from it or something like that. You know, usually kids of the Democrats get hired by the news media. You know, what's her name? Valerie Jarrett's daughter, Laura Jarrett, is now a correspondent and I think an anchor at CNN. And Jim Sciutto at CNN, he's an anchor. He was an Obama administration official, too. And now the Washington Post has a story barely a week into office. President Biden made a promise, signaled a sharp break from his predecessor. No members of his family would be involved in government. You mean like Jared Kushner with the four Middle East peace deals for which the administration and Jared Kushner get no credit but scorn and disdain? Because they're anti-Israel. The Democrat Party is anti-Israel. Pro-Hamas. Hamas is a terrorist organization. So that vow did not extend to his senior staff and their relatives in the first few months of Biden's presidency. At least five children of his top aides have secured coveted jobs in the new administration. They include two sons and a daughter of the White House counselor, the daughter of the deputy White House chief of staff, and the daughter of the director of presidential personnel. The pattern, which continued this week with the Treasury Department's announcements, hiring of J.J. Ricchetti, the son of Biden counselor Steve Ricchetti, has drawn concerns from ethics experts. Concerns, they're just minor concerns, from ethics experts. They had to find experts to find that this might be an issue, not a thing. Diversity advocates and others, they checked with multiple diversity advocates. That's people have that on their business card. I'm a diversity advocate. Oh, really? What do you advocate for? You know, diversity. Okay. And do you know what that word means? Because I find that very often they use the words, but they don't know what they mean. Truly remarkable. Now, that's no big deal. I just want to know when the 50, that's okay. The news media is going to smooth this over for him. This is, I didn't see this in the actual hard copy of the paper today. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. And the Biden people won't worry about it too much either. Remarkable stuff. I want to know when the 50 intelligence officials that said that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation and all the stories about it. I want to know when those 50 intelligence officials are going to come out with a letter declaring that Hunter Biden is the greatest artist in history.